So what was the creative process behind this new album? It's been over 30 years since your last, well, close to 30 years, from your last solo project. So what was the thinking behind this one?
Well, the reason it took so long was very simple. When you're in the Eagles machine, there's very little else you can do besides eat, breathe, and sleep Eagles songs, rehearsals, touring, studio, business, meetings, press, the whole thing. That's just all-consuming. When I finally left the band in 2001, I took a couple of years to do a lot of just self-introspective, kind of cathartic research, and I started doing these series of meditations, and out of the meditations, I started writing down these recollections about specific periods of my life. It was an attempt to try to understand how I'd gotten from a very impoverished circumstance where I was born and raised in North Florida to being swept up in the music business, involved myself with the Eagles, and how that had all changed me over the decades that I've been involved in that. As part of the process, I wound up writing a book called Heaven and Hell, My Life in the Eagles, that went on to be a New York Times bestseller. At that point, I had to go out and promote this record and do interviews and television, and this book, mm-hmm. and do like about a year and a half of promotion for that book. And during the whole process, the one thing I kept coming back to was that when I started playing music when I was 10 years old, that's really what propelled me and empowered me through this whole journey. And that's what I loved to do the most and missed the most while I was writing this book. Even though I have a studio in my home, as I was writing these stories about my life in this text, I would go into the studio and write songs about it as well. A lot of the songs that are on this record come from experiences based on my life story. And so when I finally finished promoting the book, I came back off the road, and I've had a band of my own. I've been in and out of town constantly for about 8 or 10 years, doing shows, performing arts centers, casinos, summer festivals, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Japan, Canada, United States, Europe. So when I wasn't on the road, when I was off, quote unquote, and I was in the United States at home, I was in the studio finishing these songs. I had written 26 song ideas. I pared it down to what I thought were the best 16 songs, went into the studio, recorded and finished the production on those 16 songs, and then pared it down to what I thought were the most meaningful, strongest songs, the top 12, put those on the CD. The other 4 songs you can hear on iTunes or Amazon as bonus tracks, you know. So
mm-hmm.
That was kind of the process, and it was kind of a very kind of dual cathartic experience for me writing all of these events that took place in my life as a book and also in song and music, which is my first choice as an artist.
Let's talk a little bit about Fall from the Grace of Love. It recently appeared on Homeland. It's just this really beautiful ballad. I mean, how did that all come about? What was the inspiration behind that song?
What was the inspiration behind that song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, within the same 12-month period that I left the band in 2001, within the next 12 months, I went through a separation and divorce of my wife of 29 years. So it was just a tragic emotional experience to go through. No one wants to go through that. So I wanted to write this song about falling from the grace of love. And that's, if you listen to it, that's the lyrics that are in there kind of describe what happens when everyone falls in love and no one wants to experience that and what it's like when you do. So that song, Fall from the Grace of Love, came out of my experience of going through a divorce with my wife, who now we're absolute best friends. We talk on the phone all the time. She comes to my house for Thanksgiving dinner. She's involved with another guy. I'm involved with a fiancé, with another woman. And, you know, life is much better, although at the time, that separation was just heartbreaking.
What do you think keeps you going? I mean, you're kind of, in a way, this living bookmark of rock and roll history. I mean, you taught Tom Petty how to play guitar. You've got songs on Fast Times and Ridgemont High, heavy metal. You wrote the music for Hotel California. You don't have to do anything anymore. Like, your place in rock history is there, but yet you continue to produce music and this new album. Why? Why do you think you continue to do this?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I didn't start playing music and writing music so that I could have a bunch of hits and retire. I'm somewhat obsessed with the process of expressing myself musically. And that's what's really propelled me since I was 10 years old, is the love of playing music, writing music, playing it, recording it, the whole gamut of that process. And hopefully it's something much like Les Paul that I'll be able to do until the day I die. There's only a couple of things you can take on in your youth that last a lifetime. Golf is one. You can play golf until you can't get in and out of a golf cart anymore.
Yes.
And music is another, where other fields like athletics, you can only do for a certain period of time before your body just, you know, stops performing at its peak. But hopefully this is something I'll be able to continue the rest of my life. And I promise you it will not be another 30 years before I do a solo record.
That's very good. We're happy. As far as your voice has aged beautifully. I mean, there's a lot of singers out there that once they get, you know, into their later 50s and even early 60s, we've heard changes in people's voices like Billy Joel, Elton John. But your voice still sounds very, very similar to the way it did when you were at the Eagles. How do you take care of yourself?
Well, you know, one of the things that I started doing about 20 years ago is I found a really great vocal coach here in Los Angeles. And I started going to see him two or three days a week just to strengthen my voice. He gave me a set of, I guess what you would call like vocal workouts. Like if you wanted to train your body to run a marathon, you wouldn't just wait until the day before to go out and decide you've got to get in shape. It's something you try to maintain and build up to so that you can run those 25 miles and finish somewhere in the front of the pack, if not just be proud that you finished in general. So I continue to do a series of vocal exercises every week. Plus, like I say, I do between 3 and 5 shows a week live now. So I'm very careful about if I'm speaking a lot on the road and then I have to go sing for an hour and a half or 2 hours, then I stop talking the next day. I really value taking care of my voice because it's a key part of my career, much like my hands. I don't have table saws or jigsaws. I don't want to lose my fingers. You know?
Yes.
You just kind of protect yourself and do what you can. I also play guitar every day, so I just love to do those things, and I don't know any other way to stop, to tell you the truth. I'm somewhat addicted to the process.
The music industry has changed quite a bit since the 70s. The full album experience, it's not the same anymore. A lot of the times, especially with digital downloads, people will kind of cherry pick a song or two that they're hearing some buzz about, or maybe something they've heard on a TV show or something along those lines. If you had to pick a song that you feel would resonate the most with your fans off this new album, which one do you think it would be and why?
There's actually a couple of songs out there. There's a song on there called Wash Away. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's about as we go through life, life seems to wind up dealing us blows. We wind up with scars on our lives or scars on our hearts from tragic experiences, the loss of love, failures. Just that part of life seems to leave its scars on us. And we want to arrive at some place, some way to deal with those and wash them away so we can go forward with life in a positive, uplifting approach and enjoy the days that we have ahead of us. So many people get affected by tragedy and they get caught in that particular syndrome and they're unable to free themselves from it. So whether it's Fall from the Grace of Love or Wash Away, need to find a way to kind of heal ourselves and go forward. So Wash Away to me is one of the songs that will most likely be my third single coming out of the first of the year. and because it has a lot of things that people relate to, as far as wanting to find a way to release yourself and heal yourself from those things that life does to us all.
How do you want this album to be remembered in your larger body of work? I mean, you've produced so much work over the years, so where do you kind of want this to end up being placed?
Wow. I've never been asked that before. That's a very interesting question. You know, I think if you were to ask that of any artist, what body of work or what song or what CD is their crown jewel, it's like having children. It's really hard to pick what part of your life, especially over the decades that I've been doing this, writing and recording with my body of work, it's really hard to pick one and say, this is the one that should be, you know, I would like to have the peak of my career, because they're all children, and they were born in different eras and different decades, and at the moment you feel very connected to them, and then the longer you live with them, like now, I still play Hotel California and a lot of the songs, Victim of Love and stuff that I wrote with the Eagles in my show, and I've played them thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times, but I still enjoy doing it, mainly because of the resonance I get back out of the audience. People vibrate or oscillate to certain songs, and they relate to them and enjoy them. And I just did a show at the United Nations earlier this year, I think in August, and there were about 300 heads of states and presidents from all over the world. I would say less than half of them spoke English. But when I went out and played Hotel California, they all stood up and applauded because they all knew that song. And very rarely does any artist have the opportunity to have created something that's had a global impact like that. But to me, that song is something that I did in 75, 76 years, years, years ago. And it's no more valid than what the songs are on this record. To me, they're all my children. So I know that sounds like a soap opera, but they're all my children, you know?
Absolutely.
And I have given birth to all of these songs and ideas, so I can't really pick one over the other and say this is there's obviously some that have had greater success than others, but, you know, I enjoy doing the writing them all, and proud to see some of them still walking around and enjoying life.
Speaking of Hotel California, I'm sure that my listeners would love to know, what was the creative process behind that song? I mean, the guitar solos alone are, they're the stuff of legend. It's the type of work that any musician just lives to create something like that once in their life. So, I mean, how did it come to your head? How did that light bulb go off?
Well, I was actually just sitting on the couch of a rented beach house in Malibu, playing guitar, and my children, who were just toddlers at the time, were out playing in the sand out by the beach, and the California sunshine was glistening on the Pacific, and it was just a sterling summer day, and I was playing guitar, and out came that progression. And I've learned over the years that when something comes through like that, you have to go record it, or if it's a lyric, you have to write it down, or sing it into your iPhone, or save it, because 2 days later, you won't remember it. It's just gone. So I ran back in this back bedroom and recorded about 5 or 6 times through that progression, and turned it off and went back out and played with my kids. And then later, when I was assembling song ideas for what was going to become the Hotel California CD or record, I went into that bedroom and played bass to it, put drums on it, put a couple of other guitars, and Joe Walsh had just joined the band, and I wanted to write something that would give Joe and I a chance to go toe-to-toe and solo against each other. We had done a couple of television shows together before Joe officially joined the band, and we did a thing called Joe Walsh and Friends, and some live shows with another band that Joe had when I was just playing with him and just having fun jamming with him on stage. So I wanted to do something on an Eagles record after he joined the band where we could do that same thing. So I picked up a Les Paul and played the first line. I put it down and picked up the Strats. And, oh, Joe would play something kind of like this. And I put that down and played the third line. And I just kind of made up this ending of the music part of Hotel California. We got into the studio and recorded the whole song. And I thought Joe and I would just sit down side by side and plug in these guitars. And I'd play a lick, and he'd play a lick, and I'd play a lick, and he'd play a lick. And then we started doing that, and Don Henley came in the studio and said, stop, that's not right, that's not it. And I went, what do you mean that's not right? He says, no, you've got to do it like the cassette, the demo that you originally did. And I said, well, I don't even know what that is. I just made that up a year ago. So we were in the studio in Miami, and I had to call my housekeeper in Malibu, have her run through my studio, find the cassette, put it in the blaster, play that song, and she held the phone up in front of the blaster, and we recorded it in Miami, and I had to sit down and learn what I had just kind of made up as a demo, and played exactly that. that's sort of how that came together.
Back to the new album, how are you going to promote it? You're already playing, you know, 4 or 5 live shows, you said, a week. So how is the new album coming out going to change your schedule?
Actually, we're looking now at, I'm going to wrap up, I think my last show is about December 15th or 16th here in the States. And then we're looking at booking all the way through next fall, going back to Japan, a tour of Canada, across the United States, Europe. So I'll be working more than I have in the past. And I've been fortunate in the past to be able to have the opportunity to be selective about when I work and when I don't. And there's no reason for me to go out and just work, you know, week after week after week after week, except for, one, I truly love to play live in front of people. I have the best time doing it. People love to hear not only the older songs, but the new songs on this record as well. And secondly, I think it's important to go out and perform these songs live for people to hear what they've heard on record so many years in the past, and the new songs are on this new record as well. So it'll be a kind of about a year project between now and the end of next year that I'll be working, playing these songs, promoting, and when I'm off the road, in quotes, back in my home, I'll be in the studio writing songs for another CD.